Today we are going to be continuing in the series of sermons in personal growth. We have looked at how to draw near to God and that God wants us to draw near to Him. And that as we draw near to Him, He will normally lead us to higher ground. And as He does that, sometimes He leaves a vacancy and it's like we don't know where He's at anymore. And God is wanting us to draw near to Him. And it's a constant process of drawing near to Him. He also wants us to have a faith that does not need to be encouraged all the time. He wants us to be individuals that have faith in Him, that trust in Him, regardless of the circumstances and the situations that we encounter. He wants us to be so trusting that we know that He wants what's best for us, and therefore, He doesn't always need to encourage us or send someone to us to be encouraging. Yes, it's nice to have Him do that at times. It's nice that when we are low, when we've received bad news, to have other people be sensitive to that and to lift us up and to come alongside us and to minister to us as we have needs. We also have seen how we need to carry out our commitments. And that if we have truly made a commitment to Him, sometimes those commitments are difficult to carry out because we'll always have a fight, and we'll have a fight with Satan because he wants to hinder our commitment. He wants us to hinder us from proceeding forward with God. And so we'll have a fight with Satan. We'll have a fight with all of society because there is a certain standard out there in the world that's different than the standard in here. And so we'll have a fight with society. We'll also have a fight with sin in our lives. And we'll have a fight with self, the things that we desire. But most of all, we need to remember if we're going to carry out our commitments, not only are we going to have a fight, but we're going to have faith and fun. Because if it's not fun, guess what? We're not going to do it. Amen? That's why many times we try to have fun things at the church for people to participate in. And many times that includes eating, all right? Which is always fun, amen? Yeah! And Brian says, I found the verse where if we do something, our souls will be fat. Whatever that is, we'll talk about that later, but that's good. That's a good thing. On that subject, I guess, as Yolanda has told me, that on December 9th, which is a Saturday at noon, I guess everybody's going to join in a great tamale roll. What that means is you're going to make a bunch of tamales, and when the... During the Christmas cantata, is it? During the Christmas cantata, not during the actual cantata, but I guess afterwards or something, they're going to have a bunch of tamales, and we're just going to have a great time of eating tamales. So if you like to make some tamales, please come. If you don't want to make tamales, well, you can come anyway. So anyway, so those are the things that we've been looking at in growing personally. God never wants us to stagnate. He never wants us to just maintain the status quo. God doesn't want us to just come to church on Sunday morning and go to Sunday school and go to morning worship and come again for evening worship and attend Wednesday night and have our hearts far from Him. God is not interested in us doing a list of do's and don'ts. No, what God truly wants is for us to abide. He wants us to be individuals that are sensitive to His will and His leading. That's why He allows things to come into our lives. Now, this morning we're going to be looking at the stress on Paul. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28 that all things, both good and bad, that is, all things work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to his purpose. So if all things, both good and bad, are for our benefit, how we respond through those situations, through those circumstances, will greatly determine what we learn from that and whether we will actually be better or bitter. Sometimes, when difficult situations arise, it's hard to look at that and say, oh, this is something that God wants in my life. He's doing this for my benefit. So I have to do this in order to be better. No, sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it goes on for a long time and we become bitter. There are individuals that are not here today simply because something adversely affected them, not necessarily in the church, but in life in general. And because of that, they have begun to question God's love. They have begun to question God's sovereignty. They have begun to question how great and good God is. Because to them, not all things work together for good. Pastor, how can you say this one thing in my life is for my benefit? How can you possibly say a broken relationship is beneficial to me? How can you say an individual that I care deeply about is addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol? How can you possibly say that this is good for me? Paul had a thorn in his flesh. He had a problem, and we don't know exactly what that problem was. It may have been a disability in speech. We don't know. He could have had a lisp, or he could have had some other speech impediment. We don't know. He could have had a problem with his eyes. Because we know on the road to Damascus when he met the Lord that he was blinded. And it took one of God's people, Ananias, to go and to place his hands on him that he'd receive his sight once again. We don't know if there were consequences as a result of that. Some people think that he had a dimness in his sight and he could not see very well. And that's why many times he had individuals writing for him, and that would scribe the letters to the individuals and to the different churches. And many times he would then sign those letters with his own hand, and he would say, see how large a writing I do? This is Paul. This is my own hand. Some people think it was because he had a dread for the sin that he had in his life. In Romans chapter 7, Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I know I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. Oh my goodness, haven't we all been there? We've all bought that book. We've all read that book and subscribed to that book on a daily basis. The things we want to do, we don't do. And the things we don't want to do, that's what we end up doing. Oh my goodness, the dread of sin in his own life. It may have been the disturbances of Satan attacking him. Because, you know, Satan is not just going to let an individual like Paul have a free rein to gather other people into the Christian faith without attacking him in a dramatic way. So we know that Satan was attacking him. We know that society was attacking him. We know that he was in prison many times when he wrote the letters. So we don't know what the thorn was. It may have been his speech, his sight, the dread of sin, the disturbance of Satan. We don't know. But we do know this. He loved the church at Corinth. And he wrote to them a letter of correction in that first letter that he wrote to them. And it was somewhat harsh. It was somewhat disturbing. And then he wrote a second letter to them. And he explained a few things. And so today, I believe God wants us to see the stress on Paul and what he went through so that we could benefit. Turn with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to ask you to stand, please, in honor of the reading of God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning now in verse 7. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that you work in our lives and that all things that come into our lives have to pass through your grid of love. We are so thankful that you protect us and that you provide for us. We are so thankful that you want what is best for us, and that if we will truly respond to you in a positive way, that we can go through life not absent of negative situations, not absent of negative problems, but Father, that we might be able to benefit from these as you desire us to benefit. Help us to see that today. Help us to see the stress that was on Paul, and that we too can benefit from this if we will simply respond to you as you lead. And we thank you now, and we pray that you will bless us with the hearing of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that I believe that God wants us to understand is that this thorn was a thorn of frustration. It was a thorn of frustration. Paul was frustrated with it. Look with me, please, once again at verse 7 and 8. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." Hang on. See, Paul had a lot of revelations given to him by Jesus Christ. God had revealed a lot of things to Paul, and so Paul, in his natural human thinking, in his natural human response, would feel elevated because not all men had that kind of revelation given to him. And so we know that Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews. We know that he was a Pharisee. We know that he was from the tribe of Benjamin. We know that there were many things that he was zealot after as he was a Jew, and that he went to Damascus to persecute Christians. But on the route to Damascus, That's where Jesus appeared to him. And it was revealed to him all of the things that he would suffer for the cause of Christ. Wow. We're going to suffer for the cause of Christ at times. But notice what Paul said to the church at Corinth in his second letter. He says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Paul's thorn was a thorn of frustration because there was a pressure by his trial. There was a pressure that was upon him. Look at that verse 7 once again. Notice what he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." This was an enormous trial. This was an enormous burden. This was something that was pressing on him constantly. It was hard. It was heavy to carry. And Paul didn't like it. Paul felt as though there was so much pressure on him that he couldn't stand up under that pressure. He couldn't perform as God wanted him to perform under that pressure. In ancient times, the shipmakers, they would hew out a big tree and it would be large, and they would form it. They would hew it out and they would soak it in water, and many times they would steam it over fire in order to soften that wood so that they could put it in a press. And they would start to press that into the shape of a ship's hull. See, it's difficult to bend wood without it breaking. And the shipmakers knew that if they put too much pressure on it at one specific point, that they would snap that huge beam in two. So they would soak it in the press, and each day they would apply a little more pressure. And then they'd soak it in the press again, and they'd heat it over the flame in order to get that steam to penetrate into that wood, and then they'd add a little more pressure. And they'd continue to add pressure to that beam until it was the perfect shape that they wanted. And it was the shape of the hull of a ship. See, in order to make that wood bend, it required pressure. See, that wood could never be what God wanted it to be unless there was some pressure put on it. And that's what we see here with Paul's thorn. It was a pressure that he went through all the time, and it was a burden that he had to carry all the time. And when you're carrying a burden, it tends to wear you out. Amen? Sometimes, I know through arthritis, when the weather is not cooperating, that my joints just ache. Anybody else here with arthritis? Oh, yeah, okay. And your joints just ache. And when you have that ache and that pain all day long, it doesn't matter if you've done anything labor intensive or not. You can be worn out at the end of the day having done no labor whatsoever, simply because of the burden of the pain that you're in. That's what Paul was experiencing. And we don't know if that was a burden from his speech or from his eyes. We don't know if that was a burden because of sin. But we do know this. It was a pressure that was constantly upon him. Secondly, we see that this was not just a pressure of his trial. This was a persistence of the trial. There was a persistence. It wasn't just here today and gone tomorrow. No, 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 no. Notice verse 8. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, meaning three times, that it might depart from me. It was constant. Nag, nag, nag. It was constantly there. It was never ending. It was persistent. And he wanted it to end. He wanted it to be over with. He felt that it diminished his productivity, but it was constantly there. If you take a rubber band and you put a weight on the middle, it'll sag some. If you take that weight off, it's just going to spring right back up to where it was. But if you leave that weight on there for an extended period of time, pretty soon it's just going to sag, and it's going to sag, and it's going to sag. It doesn't matter. Don't know how long it's going to take. It might take years. But pretty soon, that rubber band's going to lose its elasticity. And that weight, when you take it off, is going to leave that rubber band with a permanent sag. Why? Because that weight was there persistently. It was there for a long, extended period of time. See, in order to remove deep stains of sin, it needs to be soaked for a long time. Amen? I mean, it's a lot like wearing a white shirt and getting barbecue sauce all over it, and then packing it away for a week before you get back home. And you take it out and it looks like somebody was shot. You got to soak it, and pretty soon that brown comes out, and brown turns to orange, and pretty soon the orange turns to yellow. You just keep on soaking it and soaking it and soaking it in that Clorox until finally it turns white like it's supposed to. That's what happens. And that's why God allows something to come into our lives and to be there persistently, because he doesn't want us to snap back to our original position. Wow. See, God doesn't want to try to make a change in our lives and we make a commitment to him and then he just lets us go. No, 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 no. God will enable us to fulfill that commitment, but sometimes it requires negative things to come into our lives so that he can do his work. Why? Because all things, both good and bad, work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Thirdly, we see that the prayer was stopped. The prayer was stopped. He stopped praying about it. Why? Paul was a man of prayer, would you agree? Yeah. He was a man of action? Yeah. He was a man that when he saw a need, he would pray about it and he would put feet and hands to his prayers. But he said after he prayed it about it three times, he stopped praying. Why? Because I believe he was praying in his own desires rather than in God's will. See, when we pray, many times we're praying, and prayer is not trying to get God to do something that God's not wanting to do. Prayer is about aligning our lives to his will. But many times, our prayers are a list of the things that we want and the things that we desire. Amen? Well, let me tell you something. God's already omniscient. God already knows what we want. God already knows what we desire. God knows that we want it to stop. God knows that we want the situation to end. But God is not interested in hearing those wants and desires all the time. What God truly wants is that servant to say, "Oh God, I don't understand, but teach me. Pour into my life, God, the things that you want. Let me discern your will in my life. Oh God, teach me to be more like your son, Jesus." And see, that's why he will allow situations to come into our lives, so that he can shave off the things that are in our lives that don't look like Jesus. So that he can shape us and mold us and fashion us after the image of his dear son, Jesus Christ. That's what his desire is. What better way of your neighbors? What better way of society in general to see God other than to God working in his body, the church, and having their body experience difficulties and see how God resolves that in a peaceful, godly way? That's what God's wanting. When we go through difficulties and trials, we need to look up instead of down. Okay? We need to look up and say, "Oh God, I don't understand. But teach me, Lord. Let me be a vessel for your use. Help me to understand. Pour into my life your will." And God, I will try to respond in a positive way. Well, secondly, we see that this was part of Paul's training, was by revelation. This was more revelation to Paul. Paul was a great guy of revelation. He had received so much revelation from God, but all of a sudden now we're going to see him receive more revelation. Look with me in verse 9. "And he said unto me," I love that, "and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This was a revelation of a gracious purpose. There is a purpose behind every situation. There is a reason why God is allowing a certain circumstance or a certain situation or a certain negative impact into our lives. God is trying to do something. And many times we just see that as a result of something that we have done or a result of what someone else has done. God allows these things. He has his hand upon every situation in our lives. And these things have to pass through his grid of love. And as they pass through his grid of love, he does something very special to it. He puts his grace upon it. "And he said to me," in other words, Paul said, "Wow, there's a value to this thorn. There's a reason why God is allowing me to experience this difficulty. There is a reason for all of this in my life. God, I don't understand it. But I pray that you would open my eyes." And that's why this was a revelation to Paul. It was a revelation of a glorious purpose, that there is a purpose behind every difficulty that we experience. What is God trying to teach us? Is God trying to teach us patience? Sometimes. How many pray for patience? Don't pray for patience. God will give you something to pray about. He'll give you something to be patient about. He'll teach you patience when you pray for it. Sometimes I just simply say, God, you know what I need best. God, you just give me, allow in my life whatever you desire. That's a dangerous, dangerous prayer. Because there can be a whole lot of negative stuff come into your life. Because God is shaping and forming and fashioning us into the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Is He trying to teach us faithfulness? Is He trying to teach us to be trusting, to be faithful, even though we don't understand? Is He trying to teach us through this? I remember at First Baptist Appleton City, that was a struggle for me. That was a struggle for me. I thought if God moved me from Bethany, which was just growing, just busting out the doors, that He would do that every place. That wasn't the way it was working. That's just not the way God worked in that church for some reason. And I was frustrated. And I was struggling. And I talked to my associate pastor, Dick Powell. He said, Craig, when you figure out what it is God's trying to teach you, that struggle will be over. God's trying to teach you something that He can't teach you in any other way. God's trying to teach you. And I'd say, what is it, Dick? What is it that God's trying to teach me? He says, well, I'm not God. I can't tell you what that is. Talk to God. God will tell you what it is. I found out what that was. God was trying to teach me to love the unlovable. To love the unlovable. That's difficult. I still struggle with that. I still struggle when I see someone standing alongside the street and I disapprove of the sign they're holding or what they're doing. I still struggle with that when I see guys walking around with their pants clear down below their cheeks of their hiney. I struggle with that. Lord, forgive me, and He already has. I rolled my window down and I said, pull up your freaking pants. And I used freaking. And I went, oh, Lord, I know I haven't done that. Someday that guy will probably come to church and go, you're the guy that yelled at me. Could be. Could be. It was a revelation that God had a glorious purpose behind this. And that he needed to be open to what God was doing. But not only did it have a glorious purpose, it had a glorious, gracious purpose, but a glorious provision. Notice what the provision is. Look at verse 9 once again. And he said to me, here's the provision. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need, Paul. Doesn't matter if it's a speech problem. Doesn't matter if it's an eye problem. Doesn't matter if it's a sin problem. Doesn't matter if Satan is attacking you constantly. All you need is my grace. That's it. It's got a glorious provision. All you need is my grace. What does that look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because God's grace is like the oil in an engine. A lot of people have said it's God's love that's like an oil in an engine. No. God's grace is. For us to receive something that we don't deserve, is like having oil in your engine. There's a lot of pressure inside your engine, amen? There's a lot of heat inside your engine. There's a lot of explosions taking place inside your engine. And without oil, that engine will seize up. Just like without God's grace, our lives seize up. There's a glorious provision. And God says, all you need is my grace. All you need is a little bit of oil in your life to keep you from being fractured. Because see, God is not interested in breaking us. When I was on the farm, we had horses, and it was my job. My dad would get in a semi-load of Mustangs. Never had halters on, never had saddles on. My job to put halters on them. My job to put saddles on them. My job to break them to ride. And yes, it's a breaking process. It's not a training process. I broke those horses. I made them do what I wanted to do. I would tie them down so tight that they could not raise their head to rear. And I'd put on an overcheck on them so that they couldn't get their head down far enough to buck. And if they wanted to buck, I'd throw them on the ground and tie their hind leg up to their head and let them flounder there for a half an hour. That takes some fight out of them real quick. And I would get on them and I'd ride them. Why? Because they were so glad to be off of that ground. They would be so glad that I am no longer trying to break them that I would ride them. And they would let me ride them. Why? Because they were broken. They were broken to my will. God is not interested in breaking us. God is interested, watch this now, to bend us to His will. And He does it so gently. And He allows situations and circumstances into our lives so that our will be bent to His, so that when He takes that pressure away, our lives stay like He wants them to stay, bent according to His will. As Paul said, I prayed about this three times. And then he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's the message. But we're going to see tonight the great transformation that took place through this thorn that was in his flesh. But today, we're going to have a song of invitation if our worship team will come. I pray that you might respond to God in a positive way so that you will indeed be better rather than bitter. What situation are you going through today that you need God's almighty touch in your lives? Maybe there's a problem, maybe there's a situation that someone else in your family is going through, and you simply need to come and pray that God will have their way in their lives. Let's all stand as we sing.